hit with another winter storm. There's been a suspected case of paralytic shellfish poisoning. We'll talk with a Haines local living abroad and updates on Southeast halibut fisheries. I'm Adam Richard. This news and more up next. Residents of Haines woke up today to quite a mess. Snow and heavy rains brought down dozens of power, phone, and cable lines, as well as quite a few trees. Downed lines prevented plows from accessing many of the roads until later in the day. I spoke with Paul Swift, Haines' local National Weather Service co-op observer, to find out precipitation totals for yesterday and the month of November. Yesterday, Haines had 6 inches of snow with a lot of rain. In order to find out total precipitation, Paul melts the snow and then takes a reading. The total precipitation of melted snow and rain yesterday came to 3.31 inches. The November snowfall total, which is still unofficial until the Juneau office makes it official, came in at 135.8 inches, shattering the previous record set in 1975 of 68.6 inches, putting Haines only 1.4 inches away from doubling the previous November snowfall record. Skagway has found its way onto the Environmental Protection Agency's watch list. They may be at risk of violating the EPA's Clean Water Act. The EPA made the previously secret list public this week. The list has been kept private in order to prevent offenders from being tipped off to possible criminal investigations. NPR obtained the list through the Freedom of Information Act. The list was then made public. Skagway's waste treatment facility is what landed them on the list. There have been concerns about capacity capabilities and levels of treatment. The 900-person year-round population can swell as high as 14,000 on a busy cruise ship day, and that can create more waste than the current facility can handle. I asked Skagway Borough Manager Tom Smith for more information on what Skagway is doing to remedy the problem.
Well, in short, I just became aware of this, watch list yesterday from a reporter in Juneau. And quite frankly, we've been working closely with EPA as they've been concerned about the treatment here for a number of years. And quite frankly, as was stated in the Juneau article, we are in the process of upgrading our treatment plant, both capacity and the level of treatment. And we're about about third to the halfway through the construction process. It's a little over $6 million project. And as a matter of fact, again, as stated in the article, I believe, or that I told the reporter, is the EPA did, in fact, provide us a $300,000 grant for that project. And we have had a couple of inspections. The most recent inspection was by a consultant for the EPA. And so I would say that our relations are good. We're working with them, and yes, we know that they've been concerned about our treatment plant.
The new upgrades are projected to be finished around March 1st and are expected to take Skagway off the EPA's radar. There has been a suspected case of paralytic shellfish poisoning in Metlakatla. Here is Greg Wilkinson with more on the story.
Hi, it's Greg Wilkinson from the Department of Health and Social Services. We have had a suspected paralytic shellfish poisoning case out of Metlakatla. A family of three harvested cockles and butter clams at or near the dynamite ship area, had them for dinner, and got sick, got symptoms typical with paralytic shellfish poisoning. Two of the people had tingling of the lips and tongue and mouth. One of the other persons had tingling that went into the hands and feet. That person has been hospitalized for observation. But we just want to let people know that paralytic shellfish poisoning can happen any time of the year, and that if they're not getting their clams or mussels cockles from commercial sources where they've been tested, then they're taking a risk. That there has been a suspected case of paralytic shellfish poisoning, and we'll take it from there.
One of Haines' own has gained a bit of international notoriety. Lenore Nash, or Nori, daughter of Dwight and Nancy Nash, was born and raised in Haines and graduated from Haines High before leaving to pursue other adventures. Last week, Nori's name was mentioned by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in a speech she gave in Thailand concerning U.S.-aided relief efforts in relation to the massive flooding that has plagued Thailand for more than a month.
And I know many of you opened your homes. People like Lenore Nash, a first tour office manager who has taken in a family of three.
Nori is currently working for the Foreign Service in the Bangkok Embassy and opened the doors of her own home to house a Thai family displaced by the flooding.
Well, right now I joined the Foreign Service, which is part of the State Department, and I've been in about 1 year. And I joined just because I love to travel, and it's a job where every 2 to 3 years you get to live in a different foreign country. And I'm a specialist in the office management track, so what I'm doing is I'm sort of, right now I'm supporting the political chief, and sometimes I support the ambassador, Ambassador Christy Kenney. The embassy started a program with any of the locally employed staff that were flooded could sign up, and then people who had apartments, American employees who had apartments that were on, you know, the fifth floor or in the heart of Bangkok that wasn't flooded, could sign up and get family placed with them.
You may have seen or heard about the flooding in Thailand. I asked Nori her take on the situation.
Yeah, it's a pretty sad situation, actually. There was just a lot of heavy rain that happened, heavy rainfall, record rainfall, and it's all just been coming down from the mountains, and it's finally reached the capital city. And what the government has done is diverted the water away from the heart of the financial district in Bangkok, but all of the outlying areas are flooded. And I have been out to visit some of the flood sites, and people are living, they're living on the second or third floor of their building, and they have to take a boat to get anywhere. And they've been living like this for weeks, and it's really hard for people, and there's a lot of threat of disease, and there's just a shortage of food. So it's just a strange situation because the heart of Bangkok, right here where I am, where the embassy is completely dry, business as usual, and then all the outlying areas surrounding the city are still flooded, and it's still a dire situation for a lot of people, and it's the death toll is surpassed 600 by now. So, you know, it's a sad situation. We've been doing whatever we can, donating money, going out, like I said, delivering food, and I had a Thai family staying with me for 3 weeks that, whose house was flooded, and so that was a great experience. They were really great people.
While we in Southeast battle snow and cold, I wondered how Nori was dealing with the tropical weather over the holidays.
I missed Haines during the holidays because it was such a beautiful time to be there with the snow and everything. And yeah, it's nice to go to, I mean, I'm going to be on a beach for Christmas, and that's just not the same. It's not, it doesn't give me that Christmas feeling. And the only place I go to in my mind during Christmas is Haines, you know, with my family and my friends, and it's going to be hard to be away from everybody for Christmas.
Nori has another year in Thailand before she may be reassigned to another embassy around the world.
After years of cuts, Southeast Alaska halibut fishermen might see a small increase in their catch next year, but the total quota could be down again coast-wide in 2012 and beyond. During a meeting Wednesday in Seattle, the International Pacific Halibut Commission staff unveiled recommendations for an overall drop of 19% next year. KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein reports.
In my 15 years at the commission, and I've dealt progressively with bycatch and climate and oceanography, harvest policy and assessment, I can easily say that this is by far the most difficult year to date.
IPHC staff scientist Dr. Stephen Hare began with some sobering thoughts as he went over this year's halibut stock assessment with the commissioners from the U.S. and Canada. Hare pointed to a decade-long decline in the exploitable biomass of halibut. He said the IPHC staff continued to deal with a number of issues this year, including bycatch, the effects of migration, the declining size of the fish, and all facets of halibut management. One key problem has been smaller fish. While there are a lot of individual halibut out there, they aren't growing as big, according to Hare.
We are fishing now, if you will, in a number of very small year classes relative to what was there before. So there are fewer recruits coming in. The ones that are coming in are small.
Overall, the staff recommended another drop in the total harvest this year from 41 million pounds to 33 million coastwide. That includes another cut to the biggest segment of the halibut catch, the Central Gulf Area 3A, which would have a limit of about 12 million pounds, which is down another 17% on top of several previous years of cuts. Area 2C, which is southeast Alaska, and the Pacific Northwest Area 2A are the only areas that may see an increase under the staff recommendations for 2012. The Northwest quota would go up about 9%. 2C, southeast, would increase about 13%, or 300,000 pounds. 2C commercial fishermen have weathered the biggest cuts to their individual catches, a loss of nearly 80% over the last 6 years. The Halibut Commission will not decide on the 2012 recommendations until their annual meeting January 24th in Anchorage. I'm Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg.
Special thanks to Matt Lichtenstein for help with this broadcast. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Adam Richard.